From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. It's Idaho Matters. Since Christmas Day in 1900, regular folks have been taking part in a Christmas bird census. It's a holiday tradition where people sign up to count the birds they see in the place that they live. The Christmas bird count is part of how the Audubon Society takes a wildlife census of birds to find out how they're doing and what conservation action might be needed to help them. And for 3 weeks across North America, volunteers at more than 2,300 sites count all the birds they see to provide a snapshot of bird populations. There are bird counts coming up from Boise to Bruno, from Garden Valley to Nampa. Joining us now are Louisa Evers. She's a board member with the Golden Eagle Audubon Society, who takes part in the Boise count and is the coordinator for the Garden Valley count. Lucian Davis, who has been part of many past Christmas counts and is a professional bird scientist for Intermountain Bird Observatory, and Carter Strope, who is an experienced Christmas bird counter and who wrote a fantastic blog about why you too should count birds. Welcome all of you to Idaho Matters. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, there are 14 geographic zones in the Boise Christmas Bird Count Circle, which sounds complicated. Lucian and Carter, how does the Boise Bird Count work? Lucian, go ahead, either one. Carter.
Go ahead, Lucian.
Okay. So the count is, as you said, divided into four different regions. And so we have different teams of usually around five people in each region. And then basically we're just making sure that all those regions get equal coverage, you know, emphasizing the spots that we know have a lot of birds. And then we put all that data together at the end into, you know, a final count for our whole count area.
Wow. Now, can I count from, say, my backyard? Would that work?
You can, yeah. So there's a variety of different ways to count. You can join a team and go out and count, or you can do a feeder count where basically you're just sitting in your backyard in one spot and watching the birds that come to your house. And so you can sign up to count in any of these different ways through Golden Eagle Audubon Society's website.
Wow. Okay, Louisa, what about the Garden Valley count? How does that one work? Is that any different?
It's similar. We have a smaller number of zones. We only have seven. Most of the Garden Valley count circle is actually unroaded.
Oh.
So it makes it a little more difficult to get way out, but it works in a similar way. There, because there's fewer people involved, you usually have teams of two to three, sometimes four, going out into each count area and counting the birds just like they do in the Boise count, as well as we have at least one person watching their feeders, hoping to get some more.
That is awesome. Carter, you wrote a great blog about Christmas bird counts. You wrote that cemeteries, landfills, and wastewater treatment plants are actually very good places to find birds in the winter. What did you see? Why is it so great to find them there?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's really special about participating in a Christmas bird count is when everybody comes together to try and count birds across a set area, you have to kind of get creative sometimes to try and find different species and make sure that you're getting a good count of all the birds in that area for the census. And so sometimes, yeah, I've been to the Boise wastewater treatment plant, landfills, cemeteries. And so you have to think about areas that might have birds where people might not really like to go. And so sometimes things like decorative conifers in a cemetery can be something that really attracts species like finches, and gulls can sometimes aggregate at places like wastewater treatment plants. And so there's something really kind of strange about it the first few times, and really every time you go to places like this. But I think after a while, you really start to appreciate that when you count an area like this, you realize that there are birds everywhere and in places where you might not really think about birds. And so however you get out and wherever you get out, there's always something really special to be found and always birds to be counted. So I think it's just a great way to show how many ways there are to participate and how many places that you can participate.
We're talking about the Christmas Bird Count with Louisa Evers, Lucian Davis, and Carter Strope. They've taken part in several bird counts around Idaho. Louisa, how did you get started bird counting?
Well, I had wanted to do it when I was working in the Portland area, but the counts were always in the middle of the week when I was at work. So when I moved to the Boise area, I very happily joined in the counts there, and I participate in all four of the counts in this area. And registering for the counts just kind of depends on who is running the count. And with Golden Eagle running the Boise count, this year they've set up a registration method on their website that you can go to and register to participate.
That is awesome. So have you kept track of how many birds you have counted over the years?
Well, I do maintain a life list using eBird. And I forget in the United States, because I've done a little bit of international birding, it's over 500 species total. And the Boise area, actually this whole area here in Southwest Idaho, has a very diverse variety of birds. And you just kind of never know what you're going to find in some places.
Lucian, we mentioned you work at the Intermountain Bird Observatory. How important is the Christmas bird count to bird scientists?
Yeah, I think the Christmas bird count is a really fantastic way to get a large amount of data that otherwise would be really difficult to get. So this is a community science initiative, which means that just everyday people who don't necessarily have a formal training in biology or in the study of birds can participate in this count. And that gets us a ton of data that we wouldn't really be able to get through maybe, you know, something like breeding season surveys, which often are done by paid biologists. It's also really great because people aren't typically going out and looking at birds quite as much in the winter as they are in the summer. And so I think it's a really fantastic way to incentivize people to get out in the winter when maybe the weather's not that great and count. It's also really important because it's such a long-running program. So, you know, nationwide, the count has been going on for well over 100 years now. And that sort of long-term data is extremely important to be able to keep track of bird populations. You know, we can look at this data and say, oh, this species wasn't here at the beginning of when we started counting in this area, and it is now, or the other way around. For example, in the Boise count circle, in recent years, we frequently have been counting Anna's hummingbirds, which is the species of hummingbird that doesn't do a typical north-south migration where, you know, they're not necessarily going to, you know, nice warm place in Mexico in the winter. And they're actually spending the winter here in Boise. And that's something that we've been seeing more and more in recent years. The species used to be confined to the West Coast. And that's just one example of, you know, a species that we have been able to see through Christmas bird count data, as well as other data where their distribution has changed, the areas that they're spending the winter in have changed. And so especially, you know, with climate change and all these changes in our environment and all these threats facing birds, the Christmas bird count is a really great way to keep tabs on bird populations through the winter.
Carter, we know that bird counting can be a little solitary at times, but you found there's usually a dinner or a gathering after each of these counts so people can share experiences and stories. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it varies with every count, but I think with any time that you have a community that's coming together to do something like this, it's always a great idea to have something to bring everyone together. And so frequently at the end of the Boise count or some of the other counts in this area, like the Napa count, there will be something like a potluck, or people will get together at a pizza place afterwards, and they'll just tell stories, get unofficial counts and tallies, and really kind of just talk about the day. And so I think it's something that is really powerful in bringing a community together and really helps support all the science that goes into this and that this fuels. And so yeah, I think whatever it is, most counts are going to have some way to bring people together and to really focus on the team aspects of it and really working together for science.
Louisa, we've got about a minute left. How much fun is this to do every year?
I find it's great fun. I just love going out to these places where I don't necessarily get to in the wintertime and seeing what's there. So like, for example, 2 years ago on the Garden Valley Count, I saw my very first pygmy owl in Idaho.
Wow.
On that count. And you just never know what you're going to find. It's great fun. There's several ways people can participate. As we mentioned earlier, you know, you can join a counting team for any of the bird counts. You can count at your feeder. And this year, Golden Eagle has set up a thing at the MK Nature Center. Ooh. Where people who don't have much experience can come and take part in what they're calling their first time and families count.
Wow. Okay. Like we said, still several counts available that you can sign up for. I want to thank the three of you for being here today. We're going to put links to the Christmas bird counts and to Carter's great blog on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. We really appreciate you guys coming on today. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.